Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. I got to say, it's more like the day before Halloween than the day after Easter. As we talk to Jenna Montgomery, star of the hit series Salem, and she reveals a couple of very terrifying things on the way this season there. Plus, the guys from Ghost Asylum are back, and what really scared them? Well, you'll find out here. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
The WGN America's supernatural thriller Salem is back for a second season, and at the head of the cast again is actress Jenna Montgomery, playing the deadliest of witches, Mary Sibley. For those who may have missed the first season or aren't aware of the series, Jenna was happy to fill us in.
Yes, it's a show that's set in 1600s in Salem, and the Puritan society, there's one girl called Mary who lives in a Puritan society who gets pregnant out of wedlock. And her lover, John Alden, played by Shane West, he goes off to fight in the war, and she's left pregnant, and she the only way she can turn, because in a Puritan society, out of wedlock, being pregnant, she would have been like out on the outskirts of society and treated like a leper. She decides to turn to witchcraft, which she's introduced to by Tituba, and she sacrifices this child in the woods. And then they're still going back from there. So she believes that her lover is dead and, you know, she sacrificed her child. And then she starts, you know, over that 7 years, she becomes less in touch with the human side of herself and more in touch with the witch side. And then John Alden comes back. And throughout the season, you really saw Mary's, the conflict inside Mary, but what she was fighting for, being a witch, and then her human side, like the love that she had for John Alden coming through. So I think it's like an interesting character to play.
So where do we find her character, Mary, this season?
Interesting enough, you find her in a very similar situation to the beginning of the first season. Again, she believes John Alden dead. She is being forced to sort of complete the grand rite, and she has no other choice, really, because now she has her son back at the finale of the last season. They gave her son back. She's doing everything now. All her love is for him and to find a world in which she can live with him and create this world. And so that's her driving force now. It all comes from the love for her son.
All right, so Mary's a badass for sure, but like so many other anti-heroes from Cable, like Jax Teller and Walter White, she manages to walk a very gray line, at least the way that Jenna portrays her. And I ask if that was something they'd worked on intentionally.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was something that me and the show creator, Brandon Braga, we discussed a lot. I think that it's rare to see a woman in a role that's so complicated because people like to label things. And I think if you have a female character who's been doing things that are morally wrong, it's easy just to be like, oh, you hate her. So we really wanted to make sure that you sympathized with Mary and understood why she was doing what she was doing. And I think this season, a new addition of a character called Hawthorne, who's like a really nasty Puritan who talks to women in an awful way. He's sort of a new villain in a way, and you kind of understand what you just want Mary to kill him. You're like, go on, Mary, just kill him. You can't help Hawthorne to do it.
This season, some new cast additions to the show too.
We do, yeah. We've got the lovely Lucy Lawless, all the way from New Zealand. She plays this incredibly powerful witch who is a blood witch. She's much more experienced than Mary. She's been around for centuries. And she, unfortunately for Marburg, Lucy Lawless's character, she needs Mary. So you know she wants to just kill her, and she could if she wanted to, she could just kill her. But she needs Mary at this point. So these two characters absolutely hate each other, but they can't do anything about each other. So it's an interesting dynamic. We have Stuart Townsend, who joined the cast as well, and Joe Doyle.
Before Salem, Janet had some great roles, including Dancing on the Edge and in the Human Target series as well a couple of years back. I ask her if the types of roles she chooses, strong women who are pretty much never a damsel in distress, is something that she's been working on.
I do think that, for me personally, where I'm at, like, I want to sort of inspire women, and it doesn't really interest me so much playing sort of like a girlfriend type or a weak female character at the moment, and that just is not something that appeals to me. But I also just don't think that people would buy it. I don't know if I can play that. I think I just come across too ballsy.
All right, so with a solid acting path like this, any chance you'd like to produce your own material, write or direct?
I would love to create my own material, and that, you know, I'm... The more I work in television, the more I really see how, like, awesome it is. Like, there's so many great television shows, and so I have so many ideas for other shows, stories that I would like to tell. So definitely in the future, I would love to start creating shows and, you know, telling more stories and having kind of, rather than just acting in other people's stories, maybe, like, telling my own stories. That would be awesome.
And as far as your dream role?
I would love to do, I would love to play Lady Macbeth, at some point in my life, and that's something that's always been a dream of mine. So I would love to play Lady Macbeth. I would also love to play Sally Bowles in Cabaret. So can I have two? I'd love to do both of those. Please,
wow.
Let me have two. Don't make me choose.
Janet Montgomery stars in new episodes of Salem every Sunday on WGN America, and you can see more too at WGNAmerica.com. All right, so Fast and Furious, number one in the box office. That's a no-brainer, but what else is going on in pop culture? Come July, it's Wedding Bells in the Valiant Universe with a special wedding issue of XO Man of War. In July, number 38 will hit the comic stores. It'll be an oversized 48-page issue that'll feature the special matrimonial story written by Robert Vendetti as well. There'll be lots of special events surrounding it, including a main wraparound cover, some variant covers, and a blank invitation variant cover as well. But check with your retailer for that one. Rumors of that Full House reboot just won't go away, but right now Netflix isn't saying anything, even though it's reported that that would be the home for the new series, which would be called Fuller House, and star original cast members Candace Cameron and Andrea Barber as well. There are reports that Dave Coulier, Bob Saget, and John Stamos would be involved, and Stamos supposedly is a producer on the series, but again, no official word from Netflix. Move over karaoke, it looks like lip sync may be the next big thing. The series premiere of Spike's Lip Sync Battle has delivered some 2.2 million viewers, making it the most watched reality series debut in that network's history. That, of course, was the episode with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Jimmy Fallon as well. More stars are jumping on board as Lip Sync Battle continues weekly on Spike. Time for The Muppet Show to be brought back. It looks like ABC feels the same way with a project that involves Bill Prady from The Big Bang Theory co-writing a script for a possible straight-to-series variety show. At least this is according to The Hollywood Reporter. No word yet on when officially it would begin production, but ABC and Muppet Studios are both involved as producing partners. WWE Studios is now partnering with independent British film production company Richwater Films and doing a partnership to co-produce and co-finance two upcoming features, the first of which will be called The Eliminators. It will be directed by James Nunn. It stars action star Scott Adkins and WWE superstar Bad News Barrett as well. And that's getting set to go before the cameras with production to begin early in the summer.
The Point, The Point.
It's time for season two of Destination America's terrifying hit series, Ghost Asylum, starring paranormal investigators Chris Smith and Scott Porter, who form a group called the Tennessee Wraith Chasers and find themselves poking around in asylums, prisons, and a lot of other places that sensible people shouldn't go. Chris told me about how they got started in all this in the first place.
It's a funny story. We all had different paranormal experiences, but the way we got started is I was on a show called Ghost Hunters Academy. It was on with the Ghost Hunters guys, and when I was on that show, I did really well, and they were like, hey, Chris, when you get back home, you need to go find a local paranormal team and join, get some more experience under your belt. And I was like, okay, so I went home, I started looking around at some of these websites of paranormal investigators that were locally formed, and, they weren't my kind of people, and when I say that, it wasn't that I was judging them for who they were, it was just everybody just seemed like they were so set in their ways, and they took their stuff a little too seriously. We were very passionate about the paranormal, but TWC, if anybody watches the show, we like to cut up. We don't take ourselves too seriously, and I wanted that camaraderie. I wanted people from different walks of life, so I decided, hey, I'm going to start my own thing. So basically, Doogie, my co-founder, he and I know each other from way back. And we were talking one day, he saw me on that show. He was like, hey, I didn't know you were into this. I was like, I didn't know you were into this. So we kind of started, Ghost Hunting together. And then along came Porter, and then my brother, and then Chicksy Ray. And it's all history from there. The production company noticed us and we're like, hey, well, you guys think about making a non-scripted TV show? And we're like, hey, let's do it. So it's all history from there.
So this season, even more terrifying? Well, that's what they promise. And Chris pretty much explained that that's going to be true.
Oh, man. Well, we're hitting a plethora of different buildings. Last season, we were restricted only to asylums. This year, we're doing prisons, we're doing mills, forts. We're even going to the Bellwitch Cave in Adams, Tennessee. So, I mean, we've kind of spread out a little bit other than asylums and doing these other locations. So, I mean, it's really opening things up for us, and just the amount of energy and trauma that was left behind that some of these places endured. I mean, it's still stuck there in the wall.
And according to Porter, the most terrifying thing so far this season is...
Oh, wow. I'm going to tell you what, man. They're all terrifying. I mean, you know, like Chris said, this season we're doing some of the most horrifying, most haunted places in the nation. I would have to say some of the prisons. You know, we went up to Moundsville and Mansfield Reformatory. And, I mean, you know, you go in there and just think of all the negative energy that was in there and everything that happened. I mean, those places, they were horrific in life, and they're horrific in death now, too.
Chris and Porter, neither one are lightweights, but they both had a couple experiences that pretty much left them, well, shall we say, just a little scared. Chris begins with his story.
Oh, man, I've got a good story for you. I'll try to make it quick, but... We were investigating a pre-Civil War home. This has been a couple of years before we started doing the show, and the guy was renovating it, and he was having some paranormal activity. We went in there. We got some great stuff, and I left that night feeling like, you know, something was in my back seat. I can't explain it, but it felt like something followed me. At that time, I drove a Ford Explorer, and on the back of the glass, I had our website, our phone number, all of our information, you know, told people what we did. And, you know, for months there, I just had that feeling that something was back there. I can't explain it. I've never had it since. I would be driving home from work at night and just get a chill down my spine, and I'd keep looking in my rear view, thinking I was going to see something. Well, I drove that car back and forth to work, like I said, and one day we get this email from this lady who claims that she's a psychic, and she's like, hey, I saw your car on the interstate. I went to your website. I checked it out. I think what you guys are doing is really cool. But she said, be careful. There's something in your back seat.
And for Porter?
You know, it's you know, mine's not as extraordinary as Chris's there. I mean, where somebody else saw it. But, you know, I mean, when I first started doing this, you know, you have an idea of what it's going to be like. You know, you think I'm going to go into these dark places and I'm going to use these night vision cameras and I'm going to listen to this audio and, you know, and something may rattle, something may knock, or something may move across in front of me and all of that. But we were investigating a hospital here in Tennessee, and I had never been touched by something that I couldn't see before. And so I was at this hospital, I was in the pharmacy, and was trying to elicit some interaction and trying to collect evidence, and nothing was really happening. You know, it was kind of just, it was kind of dead, no pun intended. And so as I was wrapping up and saying, you know, okay, well, if you're not going to, you know, talk to me, I'm going to get out of here, I felt something touch my shoulder. And it wasn't just a touch. It was I could literally feel the thumb hit the back of my shoulder, and then I felt all four fingers individually, the index finger, middle finger, ring finger, pinky finger, land on the front of my shoulder. And so I spun around thinking it was one of the guys, and there was nobody there. It was just a wall. So, you know, that was really probably the first time that I had a physical interaction, and it scared the bejesus out of me.
Ghost Asylum Season 2 right now with new episodes every Sunday on Destination America. And see more at DestinationAmerica.com. That does it for right now. We're back and on the agenda. First, a look at Bitten returning to the Sci-Fi Network for another new season, and actress Jo Beth Williams, who for decades has entertained us, talks about her new series as well. All that and more waiting for you on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, we're easy to find. Just look for The Point Radio, and then look for us right back here in a few days.